Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, thanks for nothing, Mo Brooks. Also, what state is 48th in voter engagement? And Tommy Tuberville has a really bad week.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
Huh. Maybe he's a stoner and not just a stone-cold racist. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Angie Horn, Republican consultant and strategist, well, unknown talents, that's what I'm talking about. And then Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR, an all-around great guy. Welcome all.
Yeah, most of my talents are known.
Well, you know, Angie does some things that she doesn't want known.
That's what I've heard.
No idea of what you speak.
I have no idea of what I speak either half the time, so there you go. At least we agree on something. Hey, you know, our politicians have a way of making national news. Not in a good way, right? But this past week, Tommy Tuberville, I have to say, has had a very bad week and has not looked so hot for Alabama, because at a Trump rally in Nevada, he went after, I think he meant to go after Democrats, but basically what he did was kind of go after black folks, and he insinuated that the Democrats wanted crime and they wanted to reward people with crime, and that these people expected reparation for something. And he, you know, I mean, he's never come out and explained himself, but he got called pretty much every racist meme there is out there, Susan.
He did, and deserved it well. I've lived all over lived in different places in the country, and I always had to kind of explain Alabama. But now we have a sitting senator, not a toothless wonder out here with a Confederate flag in the back of his truck, but a sitting senator being a racist on national TV. How embarrassing.
Now, Josh, I know your take on it, but, you know, I've talked to several Republican friends, and they said no matter what he meant to say, what he said could only be construed one way. But we'll see what Angie has to say, but we're going to let you weigh in first on this.
Yeah, you know, he said, you know, they want reparation for people who do the crime. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, there's not really any way to interpret it other than the racist way in which he meant it. And, you know, look, we can joke about it and you know, and say that it makes us look bad or whatever. But in reality, it hurts a lot of people. It does. It you know, there are people in this state that Tommy Tuberville is supposed to represent, who he hurt deeply by what he said, and to know that they're living in a state where their fellow citizens have voted for a person and sent a person to Washington, D.C. to represent everybody, and he holds these beliefs, and that in a lot of ways the silence that has come from his party and from and the encouragement in some corners from people around the state that believe what Tommy Tuberville believes is very hurtful in this day and age for them. Now, I don't think it's a majority of people. I don't think it's a majority of Republicans. But, you know, I'll say it's been awful quiet from that side of the aisle on these comments from him. And I think that's pretty shameful.
Well, how much is it also hurting the families that he went and sat in their houses to recruit their sons to play for the University of Alabama? How much did that hurt?
Yeah, I mean, Angie, you know, look, I know we all can disagree on a lot of facts about politics and certainly policy and all that. But this, like Josh said, this guy is representing Alabama citizens, all Alabama citizens. It just seemed like a remarkable thing to say at a Trump rally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to defend this. I'm not going to defend what he said. I certainly don't work for Tommy Tuberville, and I'm not going to defend what he said. But I'll say this. The bigger problem about what he said, beyond the obvious racism and obvious things like that, why are we even talking about reparations? Tommy, get on message, man. Inflation is at the highest it's been. We have 100 million problems going on with the Biden administration. Talk about inflation. Talk about the border. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Don't step in this. So if he wrote that speech, then he should come out and say, I'm sorry. But if he had a staffer that wrote that speech and loaded it on a teleprompter, I certainly hope they're on a one-way trip to the unemployment line, because the Republican Party needs to stay on message. And Tommy Tuberville's message is not the Republican message in this case.
Well, and I agree with you. If you're going to win races, especially in Nevada, this is not the way to do it when you've got a lot of people of color in that state. But the thing that,
or any state.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at Alabama, more than 25% of our population is black.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy Tuberville is supposed to represent everyone. This type of language helps no one. It reminds me of George Wallace and those cats back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Segregation today, segregation tomorrow,
yep.
And segregation forever. We can move on beyond on this. And I want to hit on this next subject. We don't have very long to go on it, but Alabama ranks 48th in the country, according to a new poll, in voter engagement. Now, we live in the world of politics, but when I read this survey and said, and it's based on how much voting, and it's based on how much people give, it's how much they're in tune to the realities of politics. Angie, I was shocked.
I don't know why you'd be shocked. I mean, we hit 25% voter turnout and are ready to throw a party in political circles, right? So we don't have a lot of engagement. You know, I give speeches to political events and I'll say one in every four people you know are going to vote. One in every four. And so I think this falls on an issue in Alabama that can only be fixed by individuals in their homes taking their children and their grandchildren to the polls and showing them how important this is. This is the fabric of our democracy, because those who win are those who show up. And that's not a lesson that we're really promoting here in Alabama. Government can't fix this. Government can't make you go vote, and they shouldn't. If you care about what's going on, if you care about high inflation, if you care about even the local, you know, pothole in your street or the street light going out, go vote. That's your voice. And when you choose not to go vote, you're choosing to be silent.
Yeah.
Josh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We only got 30 seconds, but go ahead.
All right. Well, we interviewed Doug Jones for a podcast this week. And one of the things he mentioned was that, we really need more civics taught in schools, and for people to understand the importance that even local government plays in their lives, and to understand the processes that take place for, like Andy said, to fix the pothole in your street, who you go to, who you turn to, what these things mean, what city councilmen do, what their county commissioners do, and to go to those meetings and the school board meetings. And I think if we could do that, that would make a huge change for people understanding what their government is and get them more involved in that.
I agree. All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
I'm Donald Trump, and I love Alabama. As many of you know, there are few issues facing our nation as important as election integrity and election fraud. This is why the people of the great state of Alabama must work together to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. So get out, register to vote, and get a photo ID so you can make your voice heard and decide the future of our great country. Thank you.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Recently, Susan, Congressman Mo Brooks, the failed Senate candidate, went on a rant on radio talking about how Richard Shelby, our senior senator getting ready to retire, is the reason why the United States has the highest, you know, why we have high deficits and high inflation, all this. He blamed it all on Richard Shelby. This is why we have a $31 trillion deficit is all laid at the feet of Richard Shelby.
Well, if it were for Mo Brooks, we wouldn't have anything in Alabama. Things like running water, electricity, whatever. I mean, he did nothing while he was there, but my favorite was...
Well, this is from Senator...
Former Senator Gerald Dyles said in an op-ed, thanks to Mo Brooks for 40 years of nothing but getting a post office named in Alabama to show for it. And the greatest progressive city of Huntsville would be a ghost town covered in kudzu. And he's absolutely right, because Mo Brooks voted against every bill that had to do with helping his own district in Huntsville.
What can we say about Mo Brooks, Josh?
Well, he was a waste of time and a lot of hot air. And, you know, I would like to say, though, you know, I disagree with Richard Shelby on a lot of social issues on things.
Yeah.
However, in this day and age, especially, I respect the way that Richard Shelby does the job that he does. And I believe that if more people would do the job the way that Richard Shelby and John McCain and a lot of other statesmen go and handle and perform that job, take it seriously, understand the needs of their districts, understand what the voters in their districts want, talk to them, and bring home these funds. Because, listen, you can rant and rave about this all you want to. If Huntsville hadn't got all the defense contracts up there, they would have gone to somebody else. Okay, they weren't going to not spend the money. All right, so you can rant and rave about that all you want to, but the fact of the matter is that Richard Shelby saw that these contracts are going to be leveled out for somebody, and so he went after those contracts and he got them in the districts that matter for him and his voters. And so it's so stupid that we're even entertaining Mo Brooks anymore. Just go away,
Angie. Senator Shelby, I would say without a doubt, will go down in history of Alabama as our greatest sitting senator. And it's going to be hard for anybody to reach the pinnacles that he has. Any thoughts on this?
So I have an 8-year-old son. I talk about him a lot. And one of the things I've always taught him since he started playing, you know, soccer at 4 years old was, when you win, it's great, but when you lose, you have to lose with the same dignity you would have if you win. Don't be a sore loser. Mo Brooks is a sore loser, too. We took a vote. It was statewide, multiple times. You don't speak for us. Go away. Like, literally, how many votes do we have to take to tell you to go away? I don't understand. Richard Shelby gets 80, 90% of the vote. Mo Brooks tops out at like 30. Go home, man. Be with those grandchildren. They're beautiful. Go spend your time with them. Leave the rest of us alone. We beg you.
Yeah, 66 counties said, thanks for nothing, Mo. Go away.
I am truly afraid, though, that Mo is like a rash that will never leave. I do want to jump now to this next thing. I think this is an important topic. We probably don't have enough time to do it, but one of the things we've seen, especially during the pandemic, and before the pandemic, was that our hospitals are struggling. Even with all the federal funds we've gotten, our hospitals have struggled. And I was talking to some folks the other day, and maybe the easiest fix for rural health care and for health care in general in the state, Josh, is to pass a gaming bill and use some of that money for health care.
Yeah. I mean, it's sitting right there. It's a billion-dollar comprehensive gaming bill that hardly anybody opposes. I mean, nobody is taking a look at it. And like, the only people that oppose it are the people that are running illegal gambling operations. You know, it's the only people that oppose it. You know, and it just all the people you run into on a daily basis are like, yeah, sure, whatever. That's good with us. Give us a lottery. Give us some sports gambling. We're fine with everything. And in the meantime, you can fix what is – I mean, I've listened. I've been to these committee meetings. I've listened to Republican lawmakers talk about their rural hospitals leaving and doctors and not being available and people having to drive hundreds of miles to get emergency care. That is a problem in this day and age, and it's one that we could easily fix with this solution. So what are we doing?
I mean, Angie, Governor Ivey has said that, you know, gambling money is not a great way to finance government. But when you're not financing your hospitals, you're not being able to finance health care, you're not being able to fund that type of thing. I mean, doesn't it make some sense to use this for education, higher education, and medical needs of our people?
So I think what we're finding here is the problem, and why one of the many reasons every single gambling bill tends to fail in the legislature, because everybody wants a piece of it, right? So hospitals want a piece, education wants a piece, or education wants a piece, Medicaid, corrections. Even if we pass gambling, there's not going to be enough money for all of this, right?
No.
So getting legislators and the public to come together and say who gets the gambling money is the issue. It is the overriding issue. And being from rural Alabama, I understand the needs of rural hospitals, but people who are representing metro areas are not so inclined to give that money there. They want it in higher ed, and higher ed has to fight with 2-year, and 2-year has to fight with K-12. The pie is only so big, and you're going to have to get all of these entities to agree on who gets that money and in what percentage, and therein lies the issue.
Well, Susan, I think the only person that can whip this coalition into shape is
Governor Kay
Ivey. Governor Kay Ivey. I think if
she
Governor
needs to get that stick out and go to town on him.
I think if Governor Ivey made up her mind what needed to be done, I think she can get it done. Because this woman is iron-willed, and she knows how to move the mechanisms of government forward. But not everyone would agree with me. That's okay, too. But I do think this was, you know, from Bill Britt, I think we need to really take care of people. A society that doesn't take care of its sick, its children, its elderly is really not much of a society. So I hope we can fix this. And it's like my old Baptist preacher used to say, I'll take the devil's money to do the Lord's work any day. So I think that's where we are. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times. I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread and kissed them all soundly.
Lights out.
Good night.
And put them to bed. Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, you know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag. Something has to stop it, and unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, I hate I spoke so glowingly about the governor, because we won't have to do it again, but Morning Consult survey just came out. Governor Kay Ivey is still one of the most popular governors in the United States. Here at home, among registered voters, Angie, she has 60% approval rating. That's pretty strong.
It is. And let me say this. I once worked for a governor who, at the time I was working for him, was extremely popular. And when you walk into a room where Kay Ivey is, it is apparent she is even more popular than he is. And what I find so funny are people that will criticize, and then she walks in a room and all of a sudden they're like, they just walk in a room with royalty. Everything they said about her when she was outside no longer matters. They're wanting their picture made. They're wanting to shake her hand. They're wanting to tell her how great she is. So it's definitely an air that I have never seen the public respond to a governor, at least in the governors I've been involved with. And I think that anybody takes the air in the room and even turns around people who were just talking crap about her 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Really? I mean, come on.
Here we go.
Yeah, come on.
What are we talking? Listen, I don't dislike Kay Ivey, okay? I think she's a nice lady and all that, but she's figured out how to be the governor of Alabama, which is just stay the hell away from everybody. And she doesn't do anything. She doesn't make appearances. She just stays behind the closed doors most of the time. And listen, that's after the last one that you were talking about earlier. We prefer people not to come out from behind that closet. And so it's okay.
The funny thing is, Angie, you bring this up. We have a friend from Germany that came in and was visiting with us when Governor Ivey was on our show.
Yes.
And she goes, oh my God, she's like royalty. So she's European. She was shocked at how her demeanor. I mean,
yes, really, she really was. She really was.
I know this. You don't want to cross her. She may be behind that closed door, but she'll take you behind the woodshed.
I never want to be an elected official. But when I grow up, I get her age, I do absolutely want to have that attitude of fear that she prevents my life.
I agree with you, Angie. You and I'll be right there together.
The first time I ever
smiles and people are shaking.
The first time I ever interviewed Governor Ivey, she wasn't a governor then, I interviewed her, and she quizzed me for 5 minutes before she would let me ask her a question because she wanted to see if I was smart enough to actually ask her a question. It was pretty weird.
This is why she was running for lieutenant governor.
It was pretty funny. Josh, this is a story we've covered quite a bit, and we still haven't resolved this issue, I don't think. The Department of Labor, Alabama Department of Labor, has charged Hyundai suppliers with violation of child labor laws. They only charged them $35,000, Josh. That's nothing for a Hyundai supplier.
No. I mean, it's clear that doing this, they had a much bigger gain by doing this and violating the law than they're ever going to pay in penalties for this. Where is the AG's office in this? Where is the federal government in this, in stopping this? I mean, it's obviously a problem. We had not one, but two suppliers that were using child labor. And, I hesitate to really, slap too much of this on Hyundai. I know Hyundai's name gets mentioned a lot in this. And, if you know the way the supplier system works, it's they're set up in a separate factory, sometimes many towns away from where Hyundai is. And so I don't know what Hyundai knew or didn't know about their suppliers, okay? But I know that these people were bringing in immigrant child labor, and they knew that these folks, well, there's no way you don't know that a 12 and a 13-year-old is a 12 and a 13-year-old, okay? I mean, stop it.
There were 50 of them, Josh.
Over and over again.
There were at least 50 of them. How do you have 50 children working there as young as 13 and not figure it out?
How is this not a huge scandal?
And let me say this. Absolutely, this is wrong. This is horrible. This never should happen. But I want to reach out and just talk to, if you work in a factory, if you work at McDonald's, I don't care where you work. If there's a 13-year-old child being employed at your place, call somebody. You have a responsibility to pick up the phone and call 911 and say, there's a child working where I work. That is your responsibility. And for everyone who works in those plants who saw those 13-year-old children on that factory line and did nothing, I hope you have a hard time sleeping at night.
Well, I tell you this, some of them called, and it sounds like from the reporting so far that they didn't get much of an answer from the people in law enforcement, except for the people at the police department, and I believe down in Enterprise, who took this up and sent it up to the AG's office. Those folks did their job. Where is everybody else?
Well, and that's the thing that bothers me. Why isn't there a bigger investigation by the Alabama Attorney General's office or the Middle District, the federal FBI? The
federal government.
Why isn't anybody doing this?
Yeah, I mean, the Department of Labor, the federal, the United States Department of Labor, where are we with doing something substantial to stop this? There were hundreds of these kids in there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But this is the best we can do so far, $35,000.
You can't tell me this is the only case of it. You cannot convince me this is the only case.
The only reason they found out about it was because a kid got kidnapped. There was a kid who got kidnapped and taken to another state, and their parents reported it.
What?
Outrageous.
The agency that employed these people, they should go to jail. They should absolutely go to jail. And on top of that, their business license and their ability to do business anywhere in the United States should be absolutely terminated immediately. The fact that these people are still in business sickens me. They should go to jail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
$35,000.
Really? And that's the thing. You know, again, I'll go back to this. We say we care about children. We say we care about rule of law. But our system right here has absolutely failed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, when we're failing children, we're failing as a society.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter.
Human trafficking. This is absolutely human trafficking.
You're right.
That's what this is.
Well, I think we're going to have to stay on this until somebody in higher authority. I mean, I'm glad that Fitzgerald Washington did what he did, but we need law enforcement on this one. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. We'll be right back.